The Christmas story is one that people all over the world have heard, and some probably know it by heart. People of all faiths know the story. People of no faiths even know the story, because it's part of an almost global culture. Why does everybody know the story? Because it captures everyone's imagination. And it pulls at our heartstrings and dazzles us with mystery and marvel. As Christians that have been inching through Advent, our day has finally arrived. We are jubilant at the arrival of our Lord and Savior. The story crosses the divide of religion to delight all who hear it. A wandering family, the miracle of birth, a strange astrological event, angels appearing in the night sky to everyday normal folk. Angels, like the Christmas story, are also part of a global culture. They exist in almost every religion. And angels always seem to show up either before or during a big event. Angels appear in the Bible in Genesis, Lamentations, Daniel, Isaiah, Exodus, all four Gospels, Acts, and Revelation. And almost every time they show up, they say, "Fear not." Now, when I think about angels, I think about the one that was on the top of our tree or in the creche when I was a little kid, or in paintings like that one where angels are beautiful and they're transcendent, or they're chubby little babies, or they're so comforting. So if that's what they look like, why are they always saying, "Fear not," when they show up? In our Christmas story, shepherds in the field they're pulling an all-nighter, and they're probably chugging back coffee to stay awake and half asleep out there in the field with the lulling sound of sheep baaing. And then, boom, we know that the angel of the Lord stood before them. I can only imagine, quite suddenly. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, from Moses' encounter with God, we know that Moses had to shield his face from God because it was too much to see. So we might surmise that the glory of the Lord is remarkably bright. And they were terrified. I can only imagine. So a "do not be afraid" at this point was just what these poor guys needed to be able to catch their breath. This is the third announcement in the Gospel of Luke from angels about a miraculous birth. The first is to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were old and everyone thought they were barren. And the second one was to Mary, announcing that she would be the God-bearer. And now to these unnamed field hands. And with each announcement came a vast responsibility. To bring a child into the world, or in this case, a message to the world. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. Good news of great joy for all people. That's the message from the angels. But in the case of Mary, her cousin Elizabeth, and a bunch of blue-collar workers, their visit by an angel meant that their lives would never be the same. Elizabeth gave birth to the prophet John the Baptist, whose proclamations prepared the way of the Lord. And Mary, more than likely a teenager, gave birth to the Messiah and followed him throughout his life of joy and pain and suffering and resurrection. And the shepherds from our Gospel of Luke, who worked outside all day very often, simple men, probably illiterate, were the first missionaries for Christ, their lives forever altered by their visit from heavenly hosts and their visit to a tiny baby in a barn who would save us all from sin and death. Things will never be the same again. Years ago, on this very night, a man lay in the hospital due to an accident. and he was on the verge of death. And his family were beside themselves for worry about him, and they didn't quite know what to do, so they called a nurse in, and they asked for things to make him more comfortable, like an extra head for his pillow. How about an extra pillow for his head? That would be weird. Even more weird than what the story really is. So she brought in an extra pillow for his head. And she was just so sweet. She had this huge smile on her face, and she had on pink scrubs. And she didn't look like all the other nurses. And she was gregarious, and she came into the room, and immediately everybody felt better. And she gave Dad a pillow, and she propped his head up, and she stroked his arm, just like he was her own dad. And then he said, "Does your dad like music? Because I found a little radio at the nurse's station, and they're playing the most beautiful Christmas music right now, and I'll be glad to go get it for him." And so she did. She scampered off. She came back in the room, and she plugged in the radio, and she dialed it to the most beautiful Christmas show that was playing on the radio. And the man who had been in a coma for the past few days, he kind of woke up and he smiled. And everyone in the room, their tension began to fade away. And she said to the family, she said, "It's all okay, you know. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's Christmas and Jesus is born." The daughter said to the nurse, "Thank you so much. My dad loves Christmas music and he always listens to the same broadcast every Christmas Eve. You know, I haven't seen you before. You've been so wonderful. What's your name?" And she smiled, this big smile. And she said, "Incarnation." And she smiled and breezed from the room. All the anxiousness and worry had just melted away, and the family sat around in the hospital bed listening to this beautiful music, tuning out the sounds of the critical care unit. And soon everybody was telling stories and laughing and remembering all the good times and Christmases they had spent together as a family. The man passed away the day after Christmas, peacefully with his entire family around him, and the family went to find the nurse that had been so kind to them and returned the radio to the nurse's station. And "What was her name?" the head nurse said. What night was that? We don't have anybody in our rotation called Incarnation. I've never heard of a person being called Incarnation. Pink scrubs. We wear blue on this floor. I don't know. This is so odd." No one at the hospital on any floor, even in HR, had ever heard of this woman. It was like she didn't exist. And yet she did exist, because an entire family had seen her. They had been comforted by her, had joy restored by her, had fear dispelled by her. The family that might have curled up in grief just a day before were filled with hope, even after losing the patriarch of the family. And it was noticeable, this feeling of peace. And everybody in the family said it was because of Incarnation. Things were never the same after they met her. In just a few minutes, we will be invited to join our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to praise our God. "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. Hosanna in the highest." And though we are mere mortals, our voices can rise up like incense to the heavens, mingling with angelic voices and mixing with all of the company of heaven and bonding with every citizen, with angels above us in Bethlehem and Mountain View, and angels among us in hospital rooms and grocery stores. our song rises to praise this joyous occasion, this miracle of birth, this miracle of saving grace, this divine soul in a tiny, fragile human body who grows and walks and heals and cries and loves with us, who dies for us. Tonight, he is here in this manger of our church, in this place that we call home in our imaginations and in our hearts. Our Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, we are changed by this event and we are transformed by the Word made flesh, the incarnate Christ. All the company of heaven tells us so. And we will never be the same again. Merry Christmas.